Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A biblical pickup line? This is Wretched Radio. If you are single or you have a son or daughter who is not yet engaged or married, is it possible the Bible has a foolproof pickup line for you? A courtesy of the book of Genesis. There's lots of answers there, so I'm told. It's the story of a servant who is tasked by his master, a fellow named Abraham, to find a woman for his boy, whose name is Isaac. The servant goes on a journey to a foreign land, and he comes up with a scheme to identify just the right woman. The question that he asks, that you might consider asking if you're thinking, maybe that person is the right one for me, but I want to be certain, so I want to use a biblical question. Well, here it is. This just might help you find a spouse. Would you water my camel? Go ahead. You just give that a go. Actually, that's not exactly the way the story went down. The servant approached a well. A woman approached him, offering to water the servant's camels, which was the sign for the servant. She's the one. Camels were basically like the old world eHarmony.com. No, they were the Jewish mingle is what the camels were. He identified a woman of kindness who would be just right for his master's son. Her name was Rebecca. You can find the tale in Genesis chapter 24. And whilst it is an interesting story, I don't think it's one that should be duplicated today. I suppose if you were a prosperity preacher and you went to the Old Testament, which is pretty much their exclusive territory where they go glean a parenthetical statement to come up with some ridiculous money-grabbing scheme. Did you hear about the dude, I don't know what his name was. Apparently he sang at P. Sean Diddy, I don't know, whatever the guy's name was, in 2019. And now he's a preacher and he had the doors shut, about 1,000 people at his church. Go figure. And he said he wasn't going to let him out until they raised $40,000. Okay, I'm not sure that was an offering or a hostage attempt. Even so, it was just no doubt this guy, like all of the prosperity preachers, used Old Testament verses. So I guess if I were going to be a prosperity hack, and I wanted to preach a sermon on how to find a spouse, I would say something like, so here's what you do. When you go to the QT, the girl who offers to fill your tank, she's the one. See? Yeah. Jimmy, I brought it from the old world into the new world there.
That's it.
And I just mangled the Bible. There are stories in the Bible that are there for our learning. They're there for edification. They're there sometimes for the narrative to forward a story. But they're not always prescriptive. In other words, not everything that you read, Old or New Testament, that is a narrative, it is a story, means I need to duplicate that. I need to say what they said, do what they do. And I think this is one of those instances in Genesis 24. You probably don't want to ask somebody if they're willing to water your camel or fill up your gas tank, which, by the way, when are prices come? I thought we were drilling, and prices were going to come down lickety split.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, me too. Me too.
When's that happening? And I hear eggs are down a little bit, but I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. But gas is still crazy. You probably don't want to ask somebody if they're willing to fill your tank. Although that would probably be a good sign that they're generous. The story in Genesis 24, not intended to be repeated. But it sure does make for a good title of a book written by Paul Grimmond called Water for My Camels. navigating the space between singleness and marriage when the Bible doesn't talk about dating. Uh-oh, what do you mean the Bible doesn't talk about dating? It's sufficient for all of life and godliness. Right. But that doesn't mean it identifies this concept that is really a Western, much more recent approach to finding a spouse called dating. I guess it was preceded by courting. Prior to that, there was a lot of arranging. I guess prior to that, there was camel watering. The point is, we in the West do this thing called dating. And increasingly, it's difficult. Societies shift, cultures change. And we have seen that the institutions that we once relied on, the institutions that we once trusted, some of the social norms that we leaned into to support family and marriage and finding a spouse, they've just been obliterated. And now what do you have? A dating app. And people scroll like a nobody's business to hopefully find themselves a spouse. And it is not going great. Now, some people, of course, are successful that way, but others are not. And it's a struggle. And this book, I think, is helpful. It's a short read that I would encourage you to pick up and consider, because this isn't about how to find a spouse per se. I mean, it has some of that in there, but I think it focuses more on what are you looking for? And this is important, because it's most likely if you're single, it's going to correct you. This is going to be like a dating chiropractic visit. It's going to readjust and realign how it is that you think about this thing called dating, what it is that you're doing, what you're trying to accomplish, what your mindset should be, and with whom should you go about the business of dating. Now, maybe you're thinking, I ain't single. This ain't got nothing to do with me. It does if you're in a local church, because the world tells young people, this is what it's all about. This is how you date. This is what you're looking for. This is who you should get married, if you should get married at all, because don't forget, it's really scary out there. You can help people. And I think that we need to start making a concerted effort to speak more about marriage, parenting, children, family, homes, the traditional stuff, the old path stuff that the Bible heartily endorses, because the world is screaming a different narrative. App, app, swipe, swipe. The person has to be perfect. The person has to do absolutely everything that makes you happy. Otherwise, toxic. Get rid of them. Swipe on. And that is a world of futility for so many. So let's make our way through at least a part of Water for My Camels, which might be the most unique book title in the history of book titles, at least in Christian publishing. Who should you date? That's simple, a Christian. That most likely you know. But let's go deeper. What type of person should you date? And if you're single or you've got kids, this is maybe going to sound somewhat Sunday schoolish. It is not. I can assure you, whatever tingly feelings that you're looking for or experiencing when you're dating, that ain't going to take you through 30, 40, 50 years of marriage. Those things are going to change. And you need more profound things. And that is exactly what marriage is all about, the profound things. So don't hear this and go, okay, sure, he's got to be godly. I got to have a God. No, I'm telling you, you want a godly spouse. Don't play with this. Oh, well, he went to camp once and he put a stick in a fire. So yeah, he's a Christian. Yeah, no, not so fast. You want to make sure that the individual loves God more than he or she loves you. Did you get that? If you find somebody who loves God above all things, that is like a big box checked for you. If that person does not esteem, love, desire to be pleasing to the Lord more than anything or anyone else, pass, because that's what marriage is about. And if you're a Christian, I promise you, even if you're a young person and maybe you're kind of nominal, let's say, you know, you believe in Jesus, but you know, there's some stuff and you could get a little better. And you're pretty somewhat, I kind of go to church on it, Kay. I'm telling you, your marriage will become what I'm about to describe from this book. You need to find this person up front. Because if you don't identify the person up front who is these things that they will eventually become and your marriage will need, you're going to have a lot of hard years. That's all there is to it. I mean, almost hesitate to say this because the world is so down on marriage, but marriage, while being spectacular and amazing, it ain't easy. It's hard because it causes you to deny yourself. That's what you will be doing in marriage. Now, if you find somebody who is not prepared to do that, and you think, well, someday, okay, well, maybe someday they will become the sacrificial one, but until then, you're going to be living with a really selfish human being, and that means you're going to be really miserable. So why not find this up front? Why not take the one who designed and created marriage, who should know what is best for us in this institution? Why not take heed and listen to what he says when it comes to finding a spouse, which we will do next on Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this: every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
For 25 years, we've watched Christianity's place in America change dramatically.
This is Wretched Radio.
But one thing hasn't changed: our commitment to proclaiming God's truth without compromise. A quarter century of preaching the gospel, equipping others to preach the gospel, and strengthening the local church. 25 years of equipping pastors. 25 years of helping Christians navigate an ever-changing world with biblical wisdom. From our early days to our current home at Fortis Institute, we've had one mission: equipping believers to stand firm in their faith. Today, we're creating more content than ever before. Hundreds of hours of audio and video resources, daily biblical teaching and tools to help you thrive. Thank you for standing firm with us for a quarter century. Together, we've built something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. Visit FortisInstitute.org and join us as we continue this vital work. 25 years of together faithfully serving our King. And we're just getting started.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joel describes a series of disasters that serve as God's judgment and a warning that an even more severe day of judgment is coming. When you see the power and fury of creation, do not fear nature, but fear Him who controls nature. But if God's people will turn to him in repentance, he will be compassionate and rescue them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wouldn't you love to read Jimmy's notes right now? This is Wretched Radio. What did you call that last segment about camel watering? What was that called?
That's what I called it, Water for My Camels.
This is Wretched Radio, a book, Water for My Camels. I believe he's from New Zealand, Sydney. Oh, that would be Australia. Sorry, Ken. Sorry, Ray. This is a pastor who has counseled countless young people seeking to get married. And what he's learned over the years from experience and from the Bible, it will help you. And this is not a simplistic approach to dating or what you should be seeking. This is serious, earnest business. And if you've been playing with dating, you've just been swiping, she's cute, I'll call her for coffee. No, you're just playing Russian roulette is all you're doing. And frankly, you're wasting everybody's time. Instead, understand what God says is a qualified spouse and what you're going to need to endure. And let's be teaching our kids this countercultural narrative, because the world, they do not think like this. And for every time we talk about water for my camels, the world screams their message. Just hook up, man. Date. You'll find somebody maybe like eventually.
If you have to get married, because I don't know, man, why you'd want to do that, because it's really scary and you could lose all your stuff. She could just dump you.
We've got to be speaking highly of marriage. Who should you date? It's important to remember the person you marry is going to get old. They're going to look different, smell different, and you'll get to the point where you've heard each other's jokes multiple times. So whatever caused the initial buzz of romance is going to disappear, or it's going to be transformed over time. You need to know that, because if you don't, you're looking for the wrong things. What you're looking for is character. Looking for a deep conviction about who Jesus is, for the role that God plays in your life, and for a willingness to wholeheartedly live under Jesus as Lord and King. If you're not dating that kind of person, something needs to change. They would need to change lickety-split, or you need to change what you're doing. Because this is what marriage is about. Even though you cling together in a one-flesh union, you both are submitting and surrendering to Jesus Christ, growing in holiness, running the race of sanctification to celestial city, to arrive there, fit for eternity. That's what you're looking for. So here's a question for you, young lady. If you're dating a young man, does he lead you in devotions? Does he go to church without being goaded? Does he actually read his Bible? If not, time for a swipe, because that ain't the guy you're looking for. And I would be shocked. I would think that probably people who either aren't married or haven't been married for a long time are going, dude, kind of severe. You know, they could grow into that. Yeah, they could, but they might not. And these are the qualifications, because this is what this hokey pokey called marriage is all about. And if a young man is not leading now, there's a very good probability he's not ever going to lead, because he's not mature enough. Doesn't mean he's not saved, just means he's not mature, doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, fine. So could you maybe train him to do that? Sure. But here's the challenge. Is it coming from the heart, or is he just doing it because dad said, that's what I got to start doing now? You're looking for godly. This is from the book, Water for My Camels. Where might we turn in the Bible to think about the kind of person you should date? A great place, Galatians 5. Look for fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Don't look for cute, rich, handsome, pretty, sexy, charming, witty, funny. Those things, that's like B-list stuff. You're looking for somebody who exudes fruit, increasing measures of fruit. Kindness, gentleness, and self-control. I can assure you they're more important than looks. Because if you're living with a good-looking person who's a jerk, how long are you going to be willing to overlook their jerkishness because they're pretty or handsome? Not long. Look for the big things. As you think about who to date, observe how the person you're interested in relates to other people. Is he proud, self-promoting, or genuinely happiest when Jesus gets the glory? I'm never going to find anybody like that. Maybe, but to find somebody who's not like that, it's marital Russian roulette, and it just might explode on you. Is she able to say, I'm sorry? Can he admit his mistakes? Does she serve others in ways that cost her something? Does he keep his word? This is bigger than just, I need to marry a Christian. That would be the Sunday school answer. Who should you marry? A Christian, right? But a Christian, not a Christian, a Christian, somebody who's earnest about this. And it shows. This is not ticking the Christian box. Furthermore, some encouragement from Water for My Camels by Paula Grimmond. Date in community. Don't do this on your own. Involve people that you trust. People at church, hopefully. Friends. Siblings. Oh, siblings. I'd never let them get there. They're just gonna... Do your best to glean what you can from them. And you say, I've got parents. They're not even Christians. Even so, well, that's not ideal. Even so, they know stuff. They know you. So use a filter, but let them speak into your life. Do not do it alone. Gain wisdom. Once you work out with whom you're going to speak, ask them to share their thoughts about your strengths and weaknesses and readiness for a relationship. If they know the other person, ask them what they think of the possibility of a relationship and whether it would be a good idea to date that person. Ask them to give you advice with this question in mind. Will dating this person be good for both of us in loving and following Jesus? That is wisdom. Do not divorce your parents, your family, your friends, your church in the process of dating. When should you date? Well, this fellow's advice is he thinks that you should wait till you get out of school. I'd be reticent to put any sort of date on it. Young people can get married. Now, statistically, the younger you get married, the higher probability of divorce. That's a statistical fact, but that's not a biblical mandate. I think that you should get married as soon as you possibly can. And age, I'm not a big fan of age because some people are mature way younger than other people are. Other advice from the book, beware of dating when you're vulnerable. You just broke up with somebody. You went through a big life change. You experienced a loss of a loved one. You don't want to be making big decisions. You're vulnerable. Your judgment clouded. And when you receive some attention, that's the balm I needed. And you just become blind to the important stuff. So be sensible and make sure you're not vulnerable. Continuing, have the DTR conversation. Define the relationship. Dude, this is up to you. Sit down and ask the question. What is this? Where are we going? What are we doing? I'm interested. I'd like to get to know you better. What do you think? And brace yourself for the answer. But you need to sit down and determine, what is it that we're trying to do here? Where are you at with this? Because if you're working in opposite directions, it's just going to end up in heartbreak. Don't do that. Number three from the book, Water for My Camels. How should you date? How should you date? I'm going to read through this list quickly. And this is what your dating should be about. May we enjoy God more than anyone or anything else, including each other. That's what your marriage is supposed to be about. That's what should drive your dating. And if your dating doesn't look like that, you've probably got the wrong person. May we have and raise joyful, godly children if God wills. May we be bold ambassadors for the gospel wherever we go. May we make our home a safe, inviting, and life-giving place for others. Okay, Now, this is a long list, but let's just pause there for a moment. That your desire in marriage should be to cultivate a home that is safe, inviting, and life-giving for others. If your dating isn't doing that, most likely your marriage isn't going to do that. And this is what you want your marriage to be. May we be a blessing to the families of God. May we always love and invest in the local church. If you're dating and you're not involved in a local church, it's broken. You either got to get it addressed and fixed or it's time to swipe. Because that's what your marriage is supposed to be about. I know. That makes it even harder. I know. But this is what God wants for your marriage. And so to those who are maybe treating it rather glibly, casually, purposelessly, it's time to water your camels. I don't know that actually made sense. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break production of Fortis Institute. A young Pakistani Christian is paying the ultimate price for his faith after being brutally attacked by his Muslim supervisor last week. The 22-year-old was slashed in the neck with a box cutter after refusing to convert to Islam despite enduring over a month of pressure. His supervisor not only attempted to murder him but also falsely accused him of desecrating the Quran, a common tactic used to target Christians in Pakistan where blasphemy is punishable by death. It's just another clear reminder that we always need to be praying for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. They are facing much, much more severe persecution than we are in the West. Here in America, the battle for life continues across multiple fronts as Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders just signed a new law to clarify the state's abortion ban with explicit protections for doctors acting in good faith to save the lives of mothers. Meanwhile, 10 states, including Texas, Georgia, and South Carolina, have introduced bills recognizing abortion for what it truly is. Homicide. Although three of these bills have already failed and others face resistance even from Republican legislators, they do represent the growing momentum to fully acknowledge the personhood of the unborn, particularly as chemical abortions now account for a staggering 63% of all abortions. The relentless battle against state authoritarianism continues, with Mississippi becoming the latest state to free citizens from income tax. Governor Tate Reeves proudly announced the state will no longer tax the work, the earnings, or the ambition of its people. The five-year phase-out makes Mississippi the 10th state to eliminate income tax, joining Florida, Texas, and other states, recognizing that letting citizens keep more of what they earn creates prosperity. Meanwhile, in Utah, Governor Spencer Cox has signed groundbreaking legislation banning fluoride in public water supplies, describing the process as being medicated by the government, which is a pretty refreshing rebuke. And not all freedom initiatives have fared as well, as a satanic black mass was attempted at the Kansas State House last week, though thankfully the ceremony's leader, Michael Stewart, was arrested after assaulting a protester who tried stopping the desecration of what Catholics believe is Christ's physical body. There's conversations there as well, but the fact that the satanic event was shut down, that's a win, I think. The fight to restore parental rights in education continues gaining momentum, with the Club for Growth launching campaigns to pass school choice in Indiana and North Dakota. Club President David McIntosh calls school freedom the defining civil rights issue of the generation, working to pass and protect education freedom across 10 states in 2025. Indiana Governor Mike Braun's proposal would make every student eligible for education vouchers, truly putting parents in the driver's seat. Then that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of charlatans, there's one sitting in the White House. This is Wretched Radio. Prosperity preachers, they sure do love their Old Testament. Why? They go find something obscure, something most people have never even considered, or it's just a part of a historical narrative. They'll grab a little parenthetical remark and they will turn it into a get-rich-quick scheme for themselves. This happens constantly. And Paula White, she's one of the best. And when I say the word best, I don't mean actually like it's a good thing, but she is very successful in bilking people. And she's currently sitting as the chief of the, whatever her title is, the Office of Faith in the White House. Apparently, she's Donald Trump's spiritual advisor. And recently, she decided to use Passover to raise some money. Are you ready to be agitated?
Now, remember that Israel and the Israelite, the Jewish people, have been in bondage for 400 years now. And Passover, which is all about your freedom, your redemption, it's all about the blood covenant. Does that sound familiar?
Is she talking about Jesus being the Passover lamb? Mm. I don't know, but she needs a drink of water. She's really smacky.
We're in bondage, couldn't stop drinking, couldn't stop sleeping around.
Okay, here we go. This is what apparently the blood covenant is about. You've had some struggles. You've got a past. Don't you worry. Jesus is going to make it better.
Stop the drug, couldn't stop the bad habits, couldn't stop your mind being tormented, could not find any peace. You had generational curses against you. People died.
Oh, hold on. Generational curses. Hello? Anybody? Ezekiel 18? How's about generational curses are not something that the Bible endorses? Yes, if you had a bad dad, you feel the effects, but that doesn't mean you're under a curse that your parents or grandparents were under.
Early, and God said, I will provide a way. I will give a spotless lamb.
Now, please note what's deficient there. Those are genuine struggles, whatever they happen to be. Does Jesus help us with those? Absolutely. But that's not why God gave the spotless lamb. It was as a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of those sins. Those aren't just bad things God wants to make better. Those are sins that have accrued a big debt with him.
My only begotten son. And it breaks through because of the blood. Every demonic assignment against you, your lineage, your family will be broken.
Okay. This is Now this is classic prosperity stuff. This is focusing on bondage and being under the delusion of Satan, generational curses.
God says, you're used to tilling, you're used to toiling, you're used to making brick and mortar. You've been slaves for 400 years. You've been on the down and out. You've been pressed. You've been pushed to the side.
Okay, this isn't the gospel. It sort of sounds like it might be, because all of those things that she's describing can be realities, but that is not what the gospel is. The gospel is about propitiation, God's wrath being satisfied, not life enhancement, which is exactly what prosperity preachers offer. It's just an insufficient gospel.
You've been overlooked, but I am about to do a quick work. And overnight, the blood covenant that I am establishing with you will bring you out of bondage, out of Egypt, will bring you out. I'm about to
What is she talking about here?
Deliver you. I don't know who needs deliverance, but God is going to deliver you during this holy Passover season because it's all about the blood. It is the blood that sets you free. It is the blood that breaks generational curses.
Jimmy, this is bordering on incoherent.
That's exactly what it is.
It's conflating the two back and forth.
I want to work with your faith right now because I want you to know the blood has power. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Well, there it is. What can wash away your sins?
What can make me whole again? Spirit, soul, and body. Why are you settling for anything less? Don't start trying to tear down people who are living great things, the abundant life in Jesus Christ. The same is offered to you through the everlasting blood covenant that was made. And this is what there this is all about.
This is all, it's about becoming as successful and wealthy as Paula White. These people, I'm sorry. She's evil.
Would be there, that your focus would be there. Your intimacy would be there. The blood is the greatest thing that we have been given, a blood covenant signed, sealed, and delivered by God himself.
What makes this so agitating, I mean, besides the music and just the smacky red presentation, that it sounds Christian-like, but it's not Christianity.
So you say, well, why am I under attack?
Why am I under attack?
Perhaps you brought it on yourself.
Huh?
Maybe it was disobedience. All you have to do is put the blood on those.
Oh, I see. Whatever that means. All you got to do is put the blood on those attacks. I'm having a different type of agitation than I anticipated. I know that prosperity preachers deceive, but this is stupid. This is just stupid.
It is the basis of that blood that gave you a finished work to succeed, to be victorious.
Yeah, that's what the gospel is about. You know what? If she were really as successful as she claims, she would have a glass of water at the ready. Yikes! Somebody water the prosperity preacher.
And to be all that this word promises you to be. And he says, this is a day that you are to commemorate. In other words, this isn't a day that you look over lightly. It's to be memorialized. I want you, when your great-grandchildren move into the promised land, I want you...
Blah, blah, blah. Guess what she's going to get to? That's right. Giving.
You see, so many people look at my life and think, well, that happened because she's a pastor, or that happened.
No, you see, it's because you're a thief.
Because of this or whatever. You know, it's like some special, you know, ranking in heaven and in the kingdom of God. That's not true. I was the mom that laid out over my bed.
There it is. I love this. This is the Joel Osteen tactic. Apparently, she's gleaned that from another prosperity preacher. Who's the example? Me.
My son is saved and he's a pastor now. He's running Story Life Church and he's phenomenal. He's a phenom. But for years, he was an addict. He was an atheist. He tells a story. Go online, find it. And I would lay out on his bed. I'd take this anointing oil. I'd take communion. I would mark the doors with the oil. I would take communion representing the blood.
So now, apparently, Jimmy, that's what you need to do to have a successful kid. Take communion and put oil on the doorposts and have piano music playing in the background.
Passover, I would sow a seed.
And do it without drinking water.
For his deliverance. I would give, always do. I still continue to do that because our weapons of warfare, they're not carnal.
I follow me.
They're people within your influence that you work with, that you've gone and you've anointed their desk. You've taken communion. You've applied the blood there.
Yeah, take communion. You can't, I guess you can take communion by yourself, but it's supposed to be, you know, with union.
And they don't even recognize because of your presence, they're still alive. Because it is the blood that destroys the enemies of God.
Oh, wow. This is akin to her saying that when she walks on the White House lawn, it's like God walking on the White House lawn because she's Paula White.
Pharaoh also practiced genocide. The enemy would not stop until all were destroyed, but the blood. That's what's going on around you right now. If the enemy had his way, your family will totally fall apart. You would lose your mind.
So the blood is going to keep your family together. It's a magic potion.
You would be killed prematurely, unexpectedly. But the blood on the door provided protection. It provided an immunity.
Okay. For those people at that time, in that situation, we aren't mystics. Well, she is.
And Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus.
There it is. So now guess what you need to do to get this applied to your life? Don't think for a second this is about Bible teaching. Don't think for a second that this is actually about seeing people get saved. Don't think that this is about actually helping people. This is all about money.
Call toll free, write, text to give, or go to paulawhite.tv with your best Passover Easter resurrection offering of $125 or more.
Wow!
Paula wants to send you a special olive wood communion set from the Holy Land, beautifully designed to help you experience the joy of communion every day. This set contains two olive wood cups, grape juice and unleavened bread from Israel, and a booklet on how to celebrate the Lord's Supper, all in an attractive commemorative box set. You will also receive Paula's Passover devotional, her series, and a special disc on communion she recorded with Perry Stone.
Of course! Come union with union. What is Paula White all about? Two things: money, honey, and this is Wretched Radio.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare: intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism? It's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, it just keeps getting worse.
Or for your best Passover offering of $50 or more, you'll receive Paula's devotional
Jump
and
change.
Series with Communion CD. And in addition to all these resources, for your special Passover offering of $1,000 or more as
wow.
the Holy Spirit leads, you will also receive the beautiful 10-inch Waterford crystal cross. Don't miss your moment to release seven
yes.
supernatural blessings.
Hold on. This is Wretched Radio. You know, a Waterford cross, oxymoron. And what did this dude say you're going to get?
Waterford crystal
yeah,
cross.
Yeah.
Don't miss your moment to release seven supernatural blessings.
If you give money, you release seven supernatural blessings. If perhaps you've ever heard people who are critical of the prosperity movement and you concluded, well, they're just being kind of judgmental. I'm sorry, this is evil. This is a perversion of Christianity. This is the very thing that Jesus denounced repeatedly. I think we forget that the Pharisees were prosperity preachers. They were about the money, honey. They were about bilking widows. What do we think that Paula White is doing here? The exact same thing. Jesus woed the Pharisees. They weren't looking to make converts, people who loved the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They were looking for followers. They were looking for people that they could use to make money. And that is what prosperity preaching is all about, and it should be an abomination to us.
Cross, don't miss your moment to release seven supernatural blessings and provision into your life.
And provision. So you give, you'll get.
Join Paula in taking communion during our special Good Friday.
Okay. Communion is to be taken with union of other saints. Hence, communion. This all just, then you can get, you can just do communion in your own house where you are. If you're on a desert island all by yourself, can you do communion? Sure. Other than that, we do it together.
Online global communion service at noon Eastern on
April. An online global communion service. That's sort of like one anothering.
April 18th, honor the Lord with your best commanded Passover offering and get ready to celebrate
honor
his mercy
Lord.
And grace this Passover Easter resurrection season.
The thing that gets me about this is the utter incoherence. Here's another example of this. Just follow the writing. This is all written. She's doing this off of a teleprompter without water nearby. And she's spewing. It's like it's all kind of Bible-ish, but it's not. It doesn't even make sense.
Now, we do not practice Passover like they did in the Old Testament.
Okay,
you don't have to go get a lamb that is spotless. You don't have to go to the Temple Mount, which is not open yet to the Jewish people. You don't have to slay that lamb. What you do have to do, according to Paul, is you're not under the law, you're not under legalism, but you have to honor the blood. How do you honor it?
I don't know.
I think in the very least, what you can do is just say, God, maybe I've taken for granted your blood.
Huh?
I didn't even know that that car was sent to kill me and you kept me.
You know what? I could be wrong. Maybe she has been drinking. But it isn't water.
There were so many things that were coming at me, and in the spirit, I didn't even know about it. But I want to thank you. And how do you say thank you to God? Prayer? Praise? Sometimes I say praise your way through it. Spending time with him? Honoring him? Acknowledging him? Bringing your family together, your friends? Giving to him?
This should agitate us.
And I believe that when you honor God on Passover, starting on April 12th at sundown through Good Friday on the 18th and concluding on Easter Sunday, you can receive these seven supernatural blessings.
Oh, you crook.
For you and your house, according to Exodus 23, God will assign an angel to you.
Wow, Jimmy. How much does an angel, because you know, I'm starting to rethink this, having an angel at the ready, does it, oh wait, they're already at the ready, but who gives them direction? You don't buy an angel. Making merchandise, ring a bell. You get an angel because God sends one as he determines you need one. It is such a lovely picture. I wish I could remember this psalm, but it appears, I don't even know if it's the Psalms. It's in the Bible, which, if you follow Paula White, that's close enough. It's they're looking at the Lord. They're in this position of, I'm waiting. Just tell me what to do, Lord. Dispatch me, and I will go. You don't buy an angel.
He'll be an enemy to your enemies. He'll give you prosperity. He'll take sickness away from you.
Oh, how many people have given to this woman and they are still in a sick bed?
He will give you long life. He'll bring increase in inheritance.
You got long life. You know what? This should, honestly, I'm not a fan of government involvement, but the government, this isn't snake oil. It's worse than that. It doesn't just say it's going to make you stronger, cure your illness. You're going to live longer.
She's in the government now.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll give a special year of blessing. You're not doing this to get something, but you're doing it in honor to God.
Well, it sure sounds like I'm doing it to get something, Paula.
Realizing what you can receive.
So apparently that would be the legal disclaimer right there.
God declares in Exodus 23:15, none shall appear before me empty-handed. We always... bring to God. That's how he says from Genesis to Revelation. Ministry takes money.
Okay, and now it's going to be directed to her. By the way, you can't just give $1,000 anywhere. You got to give it to Paula.
And if you have the ability to stand with us, I want to ask you to put your faith during this very holy time, because I give just to give, and I pray there are others. Uh-huh. But also know we want to get you some special gifts. Mm. And don't forget to join us on Good Friday.
That's just agitating.
You know what it reminds me of?
Benny Hinn on steroids?
Yeah, but I mean, this, all I can think about is Ephesians 5. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. And that's what this is.
It's grotesque is what it is. Giving to get, that is just never the way that God has deemed giving to be. He wants it to be from the heart. And her little disclaimer that I suppose somebody could point to and say, well, don't give to get things. Well, hold on a second. When it's wrapped in nothing but getting stuff from God, and don't think for a second that people in the world do not see this. And don't think for a second they don't see Paula White standing next to Donald Trump. Don't think for a second that people don't think this is Christianity, snake oil saleswoman. This should agitate us. This should be something that we denounce publicly and loudly, because this woman is a quack, not even a good one, frankly. Perverting the Bible. Making merchandise out of people. That's almost as annoying, maybe more. Well, you be the judge. Here's a woman who is speaking in front of the Georgia Senator House, trying to defeat an abolitionist bill to protect human life. Here's another woman pretending to speak for God, not quoting him rightly.
And all of this listening over the years taught me that women and families need to be trusted and empowered to make difficult moral decisions about pregnancy and their families. And I'll conclude with this.
Okay, so we're going to empower individuals to make moral decisions. Does that apply to slavery, madam? Does that apply to rape, madam?
You all are hearing a lot of vocal Christians in here preaching to you that Christianity teaches that abortion under any circumstance is a sin. And please understand, they do not speak for all Christians. Not today in this country, and certainly not over centuries of Christian witness and practice.
That is just a lie. That is all that is. A flat out lie. Historically, you can go back. I think it might even be in the Didache. Go back and read the early church writings on life. They were very adamant against abortion. This woman, with her somewhat demure presentation, wearing her clerical collar, speaking to the Georgia Assembly so that they can have the right to be bullies to protect their quality of life, but not be concerned about the life of a baby. This is evil that you're hearing.
You're also hearing a lot about protecting life. And I believe that we must protect life here in Georgia.
What does she mean? Her quality of life, a woman's quality of life. not the baby's life. All of this, she's done nothing but beg the question. What is it? What is inside of the womb? It is a life.
Let us to do that. Let us please invest in systems of care and support rather than systems of punishment. This girl claims to be on the side of life, but it is demeaning and cruel, and it will only bring about more death.
Well, not if we don't allow people to abort their children. In her clerical collar, presenting herself as a Christian, or at least as an Episcopalian, that's the voice of evil. Make no mistake about it. When people misrepresent God, I don't care how pleasant appearing they might be, how sweet they may be sound. If they are not representing God rightly, it is an abomination. And until tomorrow, sorry for making you crabby, go serve your king.